Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He did.
Oh.
Hey, what's the saying? Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened or something like that.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. I choose joy, ED. I choose joy.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with waking up happy.
This is the Believe in 49ers podcast on Believe. He is Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I'm Rashawn Haylock. Plenty to get to on this show. The season has come to an end for the Niners, the 2022 season, that is. Well, they took us on a ride, didn't they? We'll break down what happened in Philly. We'll talk about that, give you our thoughts about that, as well. Some other news that has come out since that game has ended for the Niners. It's going to be a long off season. The rumor mill has already started. Not going to dive all the way into that, but there are a couple things that we may mention here on the pod. As always, we want to encourage you to continue to download, subscribe, rate, and review. We're located wherever you find your podcast. If there's a like or a follow button on your particular podcast subscription service, go ahead, hit that like or follow button. Give us a like on YouTube as well. Believe in 49ers. That's BLEAV. Feel free to get involved in the show. You still crying buckets of tears? If so, you know, reach out. You know, let us know what you're going through. I'm at R. Haylock on Twitter. He is at underscore Eric Davis underscore. And on Instagram, I am at Watch Ray Ray. He is at ED25. Look, we're all in this together, folks. As always, we're brought to you by the fine folks at Bet Online. Look, season is coming to an end for the Niners, but there is one more big game left to be played in the NFL season. Of course, BetOnline has your action for that. They got NBA, college basketball. What do you know, right? But before we blink, it'll be February, and all of a sudden, it'll be March, ED's favorite month of the year. And so you got March Madness just around the corner, MMA. Hey, they're getting petty out there on the golf course. Rory and Patrick Reed having some words and flipping tees and all this other stuff. Whatever you want. Bet Online has you covered. Just go ahead, head over to the website, betonline.ag, to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV. Come on, y'all, you know how I spell by now, to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts. He is Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I'm Rashawn Haylock. It's been a while, about 3 months maybe. Since what did we learn, right? After every win, we give out game balls. We've been giving out a lot of them, you know, consecutively. It's been a long time since what did we learn. We do that after every Niners loss. And, of course, everybody's season is going to end, you know, with the nail, except that one team that's going to stand at the top of the mountain at the end of the year. But yep. What did we learn, E.D.?
What did we learn? I already knew it. But I'm just going to say it for everyone who's never heard me say it before. Football has no feelings. Football has no feels. It doesn't care about how you feel. You don't get what you deserve. People always like, he deserves a new contract, or he deserves to be traded to the right place, or he deserves to know what it feels like. Football doesn't care about your feelings. The football gods sometimes just say it's not your day. And when it's not your day, it's not your day. It has nothing to do with how badly you want it. Has nothing to do with whether or not you deserve it. It's just not meant to be. And that was a game that was not meant to be. So how we felt and what we wanted is irrelevant. You got to be able to produce in the moment, and they didn't have the ammo to produce. So that's what happens when you get in those situations. It's why the game is the ultimate team sport, and it's why winning a championship in football is so difficult. So that is what I would like. Like I said, I knew it. I think everybody else just needs to hear that, understand that, and accept that, and keep it moving. Like you, I just heard you say, if you still want to cry about it, contact us. No, contact Rashawn. That's it. I'm not trying to cry over it. It is what it is, and it wasn't meant to be. So now you take the next step forward and you go from there. That's what I learned. Okay, how about you? What says you?
Yeah, I think to that point, sports can be cruel, right? In a sense. And we saw that kind of unfold on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Mine is a little different take. I really enjoyed beating the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know that I realized like just how much, you know.
We're different that way. Because you know what the Cowboys, you know what the Cowboys did this season? The same thing we did. Didn't win a Super Bowl.
They didn't win a Super Bowl. Yeah.
No. So you can sit here and say I beat you. Does it? See that? That's just
you didn't win.
That's what I see it differently. Only one team is going to say I had a successful season. The rest of us, you did. So that's the thing about it. You know, crying and complain, or you're, you know, trying to point fingers and brag. I beat you. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. No. I think.
But I get where you're going.
Yeah.
That was a happy day.
But on a serious note, though, I think there's been a lot of talk about, obviously, they expanded the season.
Yep.
There's talk about roster expansion, this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. And someone brought up something on Twitter. I don't know who it was, but something along the lines of not being penalized by having a second kicker or a third quarterback, like things that...
You can always put that on your roster. You can put that on your roster right now.
Well, you can't. You can do it right now. Yeah. But then that takes away another spot, right?
But if you think that's planning, that's coaching, that's football, that's strategy. If you think you need that, then you do it. Because if we're getting to the fact that where you're saying you could have had another quarterback on the team this last game, well, you did have another quarterback on the team. He just, you know, you could have put somebody else on there, and you can carry three quarterbacks. So I mean, you can choose to carry five wide receivers or three quarterbacks.
I definitely hear what you're saying, but I think there's something to be said about just roster expansion in general. And there's been talks about maybe this is where they're going or where they're headed as a league. And Sunday was a prime example of that, because
I disagree about that. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead. I'm trying.
Well, I just think. After a while, you get to a point where it's just like, what are we doing? Like there's just not, like, that's not even football being played, right? Well, like, I'm not crying about what happened. Like, don't get me wrong, but I think it is something that when you look at certain positions, like if you don't have them, like you're hindered.
Well, no, I agree. You have to have someone that can actually play the position. You know, I was asked like during it, like, why would you put Purdy back out there if he can't play? I'm like, because someone has to call the plays. You know, it's great to say, well, Christian McCaffrey or Juice, they are the emergency backup. Well, can they actually make the calls? Probably not. Not that they don't understand them or know them. They're just not accustomed to repeating the verbiage.
Yeah.
And it's different when you
which is an art on itself. Yeah. Like it's one thing to hear it, but it's a whole other thing. I got to say that to you.
It's a skill in itself. I told people like, when I played, I was one of the guys. And that's what Pete Carroll and I, that's how he kind of got, he was shocked that I knew the calls and could make the calls and play and all this stuff. Because he was like, corners don't do that. But that's how I was taught football. I didn't know any different. That's just the way they taught it to me. But everybody can't play and talk. So it's seriously, really, really, I played with really, really good guys, even in the secondary. They couldn't do both. Because it's you know, you're thinking about things, you're getting people going, you're doing all this stuff, and then you got to do your job. So that's a part of it. But now, back to this past game, I'm sorry. As far as, let me get this point in. As far as expanding the roster, I'm with you on that. That's more jobs. I'm with you on that. They can afford to do it. That's more jobs. That's more guys to get an opportunity to actually be in the NFL and live their dream. I love that. I love that thought. But with that being said, there's nothing that said just because you expand the roster, you're going to carry three quarterbacks.
That's true. Nor, if I'm going to give it a buck, like I don't even know that that would have helped the Niners.
Yeah. Well, maybe it would have if that guy can play. So that's the thing about it is like you could have the guys on your team. Number one, they got to be able to play. You can decide. Do I want to carry two kickers? Okay, what are the odds? Because that's all it's based off of. What are the odds of you needing two kickers in a game?
And that's the thing, right?
Well, you're like, not going to carry.
Odds of you needed three quarterbacks in the game.
There you go. Yeah. That's the thing. You're not going to carry. That was just the football god saying not today.
Not today. Yeah.
Not today. That's just that happens.
That has been what did we learn here on the Believe in 49ers podcast? He is Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I'm Rashawn Haylock. It took me back to childhood. There was a Monday Night Football game and I remember just being blown away, like, that guy's not a quarterback. It was Washington, I forget who they were playing, and I don't even remember what happened. All I know is that Brian Mitchell had to come in and he was under center
taking snaps.
I was like, what is going on here, right? Yeah. Like at that, I had never seen a non-quarterback do that before. So like, I'm at that time, like my mind was like blown, right?
And yeah, there was no wildcat in the league back
then. There was no wildcat. There was none of that. And so at that, it's Sunday kind of just took me back to that in a sense. I mean, here's the gist of it. Okay. I'm not even mad. I mean, it sucked, right? But I'm not even mad about what happened. The season just feels like a little incomplete because you just get a sense that you really didn't have a chance, right? You didn't really have a shot. You get all the way this far, right? And you got Super Bowl aspirations, Lombardi aspirations, and you get to this point, and you don't even have a legitimate chance to be able to compete that, to finish the thing out. Mm-hmm. And so that was the part that was just sort of mind boggling to me. But at the same time, it's like, what are you going to do? You know, like once you got to a certain point in the game, it's like, okay, like, well, for one, I'm not coming at Kyle, and I don't know that coming at Kyle is right. I know that Kyle's been getting a lot of flack for having the tight end there. They've been doing that all year. Mm-hmm. Right?
You know what? I question doing that early. I said, I would just like to know his mindset on not putting your best blockers on their best rusher only early on, because you don't want their best guys to get off early. Just like you're not going to go into a game and say, I'm going to single up your best receivers from the start. I'm going to give the quarterback the easiest reads possible from the start. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You try to get guys a little uncomfortable, give them something to think about. So that's what was shocking to me with that. Yes, you've been doing all the play action, but early on, it's kind of like a best on the best. You would never, I guarantee you, the mindset on defense was not, let's start this game and not put our best receivers on their two best receivers, our best corners on their two best receivers. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to do that. You're not going to start the game and say, okay, let's try to cover their wideouts with our linebackers.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, But to me, I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it as apples to apples. I look at it as apples to oranges. I look at it as that is, I mean that's the offense, right? That's the it's the play action, it's the misdirection, it's also time, it's timing as well, right? Like you got to get the ball out of your hands quickly, right?
I can accept that. I can accept that, and as a calculated risk, and he was just wrong. So Kyle still has to eat it,
Oh,
but
you got to eat it for sure.
I'm with you on it. It's not a question of it being, it's not a question of it being the wrong thing. It just happened. It didn't turn out, as you
It didn't
said.
turn out. Yeah.
That's the offense. That's what they've been doing. But he was wrong thinking that that player would get fooled by the flow of the play, or that his player. This is what I say all the time. X's and O's don't move on paper.
They don't.
You don't realize it until that X is whooping your O's ass. That's when you're like, "Uh-oh, I can't do that." And the problem is that finding that out cost him his quarterback.
And that's every play call though, right? Every play call has a 50% chance of being successful or not in a
No,
sense,
that's
right?
not true. That's not true.
No.
No, it's not 50%. That's why you used to always say 50-50 ball. It wasn't a 50-50 ball if I was covering the guy. I was better than him. He didn't have a 50% chance of catching it. So that's what I'm saying. That's not true. What you just said, every
But
play that
there are play calls that just don't work. Like
there are play
when
calls.
Kyle makes a play call, there's a chance that it's just not going to work out, right?
If Kyle makes a play call, it's a chance that it's not going to work out based on them not doing something that you were that was expected. If the play is going to be based on the fact that I expect people to be in these positions and these things happening, so my blocking scheme is going to account for A, B, C, and D. Or if it's a pass route, my pass route, the progression of the route and the levels we're going to stack are going to account for movement from a linebacker to here, or safety to there, and attack the corner in this window. So those things, if that's what you get, the play is going to work. Now, what you're
But if
talking
you
about,
don't get that,
well, if you don't get that, then you don't run that play. So that's what I'm saying. So you go to another play based on the fact that because they are here, we can't do that, then we'll do this. So that's how football is based. So now what you're saying is that even if they call that play and all of those things work out, there's a 50-50 chance that that the defender is going to make the play it anyway.
but
It's not
there's
50,
also a
it's not
chance you can get a
50-50.
look, right? You can get a
Yeah.
look, and then they don't do what they showed once the ball is snapped,
Yes,
also, right? So
yes.
that accounts for that as well.
Yes, that's a part of it as well that you have to account for. But I'm just saying it's not 50-50. Every time you snap the ball, every time you come to the line of scrimmage, the odds aren't this will work or it won't. That's not the case. It's not the case. If that were the case, you'd never have a quarterback with a 70%
Completion percentage.
completion percentage. That's
All right.
impossible.
All right.
You
I
never
am
have a
not.
DB that you never have a DB that's out of the 50s. You know, you it's rare if you get a DB that's 50% completion against him, hell, he's an all pro. You see my point?
I see.
It's
I see.
not
I,
50-50.
I embellish there, but there. The fact of the matter is, there are play calls that can go wrong, right? This one just
Of
went.
course.
This one just went
Every play call.
absolutely wrong, right?
Yes.
Absolutely the wrong way.
Well, but let me say this. Now, see, and that goes back to what I said. X's and O's don't move on paper. The play didn't go wrong based on the call or the design. The play went wrong because seven whoop your guy's tail. That's the part that you can't account for. That's what I was just saying on those balls when the announcer's always like, it's a 50-50 ball. It's not a 50-50 ball if if you're better than the guy. It's not a 50-50 if the receiver is better than the guy covering him, if the DB is better or the linebacker is better than the guy he's covering. It's not 50-50. They always throw that out there, 50-50 ball. It's not 50-50.
You're killing me, Edie. So if I'm calling a football game, I use 50-50 ball a lot.
Yeah.
If it's thrown up there like that.
But it's 50-50 ball if they are the exact same type player. If they're the exact same type player, then okay, anything can happen.
So
If you're trying to
what should we call it?
if you're calling the if you're call, something other it's not a 50-50 ball. What do you call it? You just call the play
Jump
as
ball.
opposed to try to use these cliche terms. I mean, it's a jump ball. He threw it up. It's a jump ball. He threw, you know, he took a chance. It's a Hail Mary. But 50-50, but like I say, if an All-American is, because you're calling a college game, if you got a junior, senior All-American who's going to be a first-round draft pick playing some buster from some Division III school, that's not a 50-50 ball. The All-American is more than likely going to make that play. Odds even say that he was more likely. The odds are more than 50% that he's going to make the play. Correct? That's what I mean. So that's why that term doesn't come into play. And that play, it wasn't a 50-50 chance. I get it. The design, as you said, Kyle has been running those type plays all year long. That is that's the scheme of the offense and what they do. They just didn't account for the fact that those guys were better. The Philadelphia defensive front was better than the San Francisco 49ers offensive line.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
You can find plays where guys were just getting their butt handed to them. Now, some of that you account for the fact that guys knew they couldn't throw the ball late after that. But I'm just saying early on, they kind of.
Yeah, and I think we kind of knew that going in, right? And then there's also another point to this, and we don't necessarily have to get into, but there, I mean, there's Kyle and him saying Purdy should have stepped up during that play, and he didn't step up, and that's been something that they've been trying to work.
Well, and guess what that is also?
That's
a rookie quarterback that we discussed. You know, that there were going to be rookie moments, and that's a part of it as well.
He
didn't feel the pressure.
So obviously you have that play, right? And then you have you tie the game up. Philly goes up. There's that just terrible drive, right? Where it was
penalties.
I loved what I was seeing from the defense on that particular drive.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, okay, here's a flag, and there's another first down. There's another first down, and then I saw Sherm kind of tweet this too. I was going back over some stuff yesterday. I saw him kind of tweet this out during the game, reading some of his old tweets. Some of it to me seemed a little ticky tack. Some of it to me seemed like it's a championship game. Let them play. And there was another part of it, like, how can you not allow the most physical team in the league to be physical, but then you allow the other team to be physical, the other team being the Eagles? So there's just some discrepancies there. But I was okay with that. I was like, all right, whatever. Couple penalties, you'll clean all that up next time out. But then I get to thinking, I'm like, okay, so what is Kyle going to do here? And knowing that he loves those 2-for-1 situations, like, is he going to put the ball in Johnson's hands and allow him to try to do something? And I'm like, oh, maybe not. Maybe just take it in. But then 2-minute drills typically favor the quarterback, right? And so I'm like, you know what? Why not? I wasn't mad at the decision there. And
I'm completely fine with that decision because where the game was and where you were, defensive team, your defense, they had their hiccup, but they got everything going on. Jalen Hurts wasn't doing anything. Okay, the first ball that they called on a touchdown, that was a Herculean play by Smith just to get a hand on it. He didn't catch it, but that was an overthrow. On the other side of the field, he had A.J. Brown running wide open behind Ward. Overthrow. He wasn't playing well. He was doing what I thought he was going to do. I thought the 49ers defense was going to give him a hard time, and they were going to have him seeing some ghosts and not making some plays that he had normally been making. That was happening. So Kyle said, look, out of all the craziness, you lose your quarterback early like that, and you're down by one score?
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, we're sitting pretty. This is going to be a defensive battle, and I like the odds of that happening. So try to get that 2-for-1 as you did, and then guess what? He drops the ball, literally.
Literally just dropped the ball. And then
I hope Josh is, you know, recovers from his concussion and all those things, of course, on that. But you can't drop the season.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And that was it right there.
That was it. You dropped the season right there.
That was the game right there.
Ultimately, how it played out, you look at it, you go back on that play, that was the play. It's like the drop pick. Where I said drop picks matter.
Yeah.
That was the play that would have propelled you to the Super Bowl. This was the play that just took you out of this game because you couldn't play without a quarterback. You can't play two scores behind. You just couldn't.
Yeah, that made it tough. You're down 21-7 at the half, and then Johnson gets knocked out. Purdy comes back in. It's clearly he can't throw the ball, and then, I mean, you kind of just get what you get from that standpoint. And so, essentially, you don't really have a chance there. Kyle's been getting a lot of shade for the play call, for not challenging.
So people stop. There's nobody on planet Earth. There's no one on planet Earth. There's no one watching that game in real time, the way it really happened. There's no one, I think, that can honestly say, I saw that he didn't catch that ball. How could you possibly have seen it watching it on television? Did you notice it the very first moment he hit?
No, the reaction, though, from Devontae, that sort of stood out to me.
That's not what I ask you. I ask you, could you tell he didn't catch the ball?
Well, no, I mean, you couldn't tell initially that he couldn't. And also, they're in a hurry-up situation. Also, you got to be mindful of this as well. We're getting the television broadcast. So we're getting – in playoff games, they got a million cameras out there, right? So we're getting this angle, reverse angle, you know, near end zone, far end. Like, we're getting every, you know, field level. Yeah. We're getting every angle, right? Note it, like – mind you, in the stadium, especially if you're on the road, they're not going to show those replays.
No. And this
anything that would go against the home team, right?
This is the other thing. I know being in the box, sitting right next to the coaches, sitting right next to the coaching staffs and everything that's going on, they're looking at the television screens and their TV copy. They have monitors on it, but they can't see it until they show it. They didn't show it until after commercial.
Yeah.
They didn't show it until after they had run a play. There's nothing you can do in that situation. So now Kyle could have just gone and just thrown a flag and said, let's just try it for the hell of it.
Yeah.
You know, just for the hell of it. And then everyone would have been like, why did he waste your time out?
Yeah. but how much should he take, or anybody on the coaching staff, how much – or anybody on the field for that matter, how much should they take into consideration the wide receiver's reaction?
You don't know if the wide receiver is getting up because, again, that they said that we're going to try this big play, and if we hit it, we're going to hurry up if we hit it. You know, it's fourth down, you know, and they're ready for a fourth down play. If we get this, we kind of got them on the ropes. Let's just try and go back to back. They could have had that call regardless, even if the initial play had been, you know what, we're just going to try to get the 3 yards or whatever, and you get four. Like, we're going to go hurry up right after that. You don't know that. As a defense, you don't know that as a coaching staff. Just because have we ever seen a guy catch a ball, get up, and run back to the line of scrimmage and play football? So all of this, remember, all of this is hindsight, guys, because we saw it. Everyone is saying what should have happened because we saw the replay. Nobody knew that he didn't catch the ball. Nobody knew it. It was a tough one. I mean, the ref couldn't even tell that he caught the ball. And that was a tough one to see until you saw the replay.
Yeah, but for me, the reaction from the – and but granted – right, I'm not the one that has to throw the red flag. I'm not the one that has to call the timeout and have the chance that I'm wasting the timeout in that situation. But for me, there's not just Niners games. There's other games, you know, that you watch throughout the season.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll give it away. The receivers will give it away. They'll kind of tell you whether.
It was
a catch or not.
And sometimes you'll have your defensive back sitting there saying he didn't catch it.
Yeah.
You didn't. So this, think about this. When everyone's saying Kyle should have known, the 49ers defenders didn't know. Not a single one of them were saying throw the flag. That's what I'm saying. All of this is so easy with hindsight now that we've seen the replay. In that moment, remember, they went to the line of scrimmage. You probably had 10, 12 seconds, if that.
They said it was 8. They said it was 18, but still not a lot of time.
Okay. You had 18 seconds from the time that happened until you threw the ball. That's time enough for defenders on the field to say he didn't catch it. None of them even noticed that he didn't catch it.
Yeah.
So how can I expect Kyle from the sideline to know that without seeing it? That's the one. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to beat Kyle up over that. Nope. Nobody knew it. Hell, I thought he caught it.
Yeah. This is the Believe in 49ers podcast on Believe. He is Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I'm Rashawn Haylock. Kyle's an easy target. I'm not going to beat up Kyle for what happened out there on Sunday. I mean, it's like you get to a certain point, there's really nothing that you can do. I think what he showed this year was was tremendous. I remember I was right here on this pod when Jimmy went down, Dolphins game, I thought the season was over. And, you know, for him to and give Purdy credit as well for him being able to acclimate and Kyle being able to acclimate him and to be able to keep this train going the way it has. I mean, they took us for a ride. It was a hell of a ride, you know? And I think one thing about it, which kind of played out on the field on Sunday, and I don't know that you'll necessarily agree with this, but I've seen this so many times, like teams go on these long winning streaks, right? And when it comes to an end, like the crash is hard, right? Like it's so many things that hadn't gone wrong during that streak, or things that normally don't go wrong, things that are so out of character, uncharacteristic. All those things just kind of come to a head all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing just comes crashing down. And I mean, we saw that, you know, on Sunday, and all of a sudden you're down to your fourth quarterback of the season and Josh Johnson. And and then he gets knocked out of the game. So all of a sudden you're down to no quarterbacks. You know, just anything that can go wrong just sort of went wrong. Everything just kind of came to an head. And I've seen that so many times. It doesn't matter the sport.
Yeah.
It could be a regular season, you know, a regular season winning streak or what have you. But I've seen it so many times, varying sports, where that streak comes to an end. And it when it comes to an end, more times than not, it crashes.
Oh, it's painful. It crashes. Well, this is the thing that I'm going to say about this season. And that's the thing. Watching the game, once your quarterbacks go down, I mean, they literally ran out of quarterbacks this season. We're not making it up. They ran out of quarterbacks before the season ended. Okay? You had no one to actually be able to do the job that could call a play. With that being said, how many games they win this season?
Not far.
14, right. 15?
Yeah.
Okay. So you get that done. You got double-digit wins. You have an excellent roster. You've identified two guys that moving forward. So you look at this team right now. You don't need to find a quarterback. That's a whole other thing we can talk about. The Bradys and all this. Tom Brady doesn't need to come here. What Tom Brady did last year is not an aberration. That's Tom Brady now. That people have to understand. Tom Brady is not going to turn back into the Tom Brady of 2012. It's not happening.
I'm glad you cleared that up, so I don't have to ask you about it at the end of this.
We don't need to get in it. No, you don't need to do that. You have your quarterbacks. It's funny. I've been seeing all this stuff already. Like, this roster is, you can't waste it, and all of this stuff. Well, guys, they drafted a quarterback, and then you found another guy who can play. Okay, your quarterback position is taken care of. You need offensive linemen. You need defensive linemen. You need more guys in the secondary. That's what you need to get. You don't need wide receivers. You got wide receivers. You don't need a tight end. You got a tight end. You don't need linebackers. You got a very young, talented linebacking core. Get better at the offensive line. Right side of the offensive line needs to get better. You always need big boys on the defensive front. You need cover guys. At the end of the day, if you can't get the ball out of the air, you're not going to win. Kansas City's in the Super Bowl right now. Not because, you know, you had a dumb move that helped them, but those interceptions that those guys were getting on Burrows, that right there is part of the reason why you're there. You got to be able to get the deep ball out of the air. So you make certain that you have that covered. I think they're very good moving in that direction. E-Man should be back next year. We know Ward can play. Huff making play. So there, that's what I would do. You found out this year that this is a good football team. The last thing, last year we were trying to figure out like, okay, so what are they going to be? What are they going to do? I know this year going into it, they're the best team in the division. They're the best team in the division without question. It's not even a maybe or anything. They're the best team in the division. This team should be playing for home field advantage, not to make the playoffs. And they're the best team in the division. At the quarterback position should be very good. Tell you why. You got a guy, even with the injury and all of these type things that happen, he'll have his surgery. He'll come back. He'll play. Guys get hurt. Football players get hurt. That's just a part of it. You're going to get hurt. He's going to have his surgery. He's going to come back. He's going to mend. He's going to play. We've seen that he can handle the position. I have to believe the third pick of the draft is better. I have to believe that the third pick of the draft has more talent, a stronger arm. He should have more mobility. That's what you drafted him for, to be a step up. Because I said, people don't like this. And when I say it, and I posted it the other day, I tweeted it, and I said, never again should anyone say that Jimmy was carried by the defense and the run game. You see what happens when you have a quarterback that's no threat. Jimmy was a threat to make plays. That's why you were still able to run the ball, still able to do things. You can't do anything if the quarterback is no threat. Yeah, and maybe he's just throwing it 15 in and all this stuff. But guess what? You got that out. You got that out of the way. So worst case scenario, I see Trey coming in saying, you know what? I'm just going to show you guys I'm better. I'm going to push this. And Purdy saying, oh, no, you're not. So you should get good play at the quarterback position regardless. The rest of the team is solid. I have no question that these coaches can coach. Because look at what happened. They ran out of quarterbacks and made it to the NFC Championship game. This is a talented team. It's a good coaching staff. It's a good organization. Things are moving in the right direction. The last game was comical. Football God said, not this year. That's all. That's all. You didn't get outplayed. It would be completely different if you went to that game and just got your brains beaten out and you're looking at it like we're not good enough. We need to do this. That's one thing. Like the Seattle Seahawks coming into Levi playing the 49ers, they left there knowing we got to get better. Yeah, we're a playoff team, but we got to get better. The 49ers didn't even get to play. Dallas Cowboys left Levi Stadium saying we got to get better.
That's the thing, right? I mean, that's the part that sucks, right? You didn't even get a chance. You didn't even get a chance to play. And
but guess what you do get? You get a chance to get better. And your floor is pretty high. Your floor, I just mentioned two teams where your floor is not, their ceiling is not as high as your floor. Okay? The teams that you just beat in the playoffs. So you look at where you are, where they're going, they should feel good about this team moving forward. I do. I'm not concerned about, you know, what I that's the thing. I keep hearing these people, and I saw a clip, you know, where they were talking about, you know, the 49ers need a quarterback and what they have is not there. And I'm still on this other thing where everyone keeps talking about Trey's a bust. I'm like, I don't know how you can possibly say that. He hasn't played.
I mean, he's an unknown, sort of like the 2022 season for the Niners, right? It's unknown.
You know what? He's an unknown, and I'm going to go back to it. Like I said before, I have to believe that he has more talent than a seventh rounder. Now, that being said, I'm not saying he's a better football player. I have to believe that he is more talented physically, just like I said about Jimmy. Now, the question is going to be the steps he can take, just like we saw 13 take huge steps, and we go from there. Without the injury, I think there's no question Purdy would have gone into camp the number one guy. Now I think we're going to hear what I told you before, open competition. I think we're going to hear that, yeah, which means it's Trey's job to lose.
Because now you're in a situation where even – like let's say even if the organization, even if they thought that Purdy may have been a step ahead of Trey, now Trey gets the opportunity to sort of leapfrog Brock in a sense that he's got pretty much the entire offseason.
Yeah, he'll be healthy
to work with, right? Yes, like, yeah. Brock, they said he's got a UCL. Hopefully he can abstain from the Tommy John surgery, but it is going to require some sort of surgical procedure, which could be 6 months. So you're looking at right about or near the beginning of training camp. Yeah. Before he's able to go again, right? Just like how Jimmy didn't have an off season last season. That's Brock this offseason.
And the difference is that Brock is a rookie. He's in his second year. He doesn't have as much experience to fall off on. And then the other aspect of it, as we know, once you get out of the chair, they start to fall in love with the guy in the chair.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. But once Trey gets back out and he starts doing the things that they actually drafted him for, when they start seeing those things again, they're going to be reminded of, oh, it's human nature. They're going to be like, oh, that is why we like, oh, wow, he can make that throw. Remember all the oohing and aahing that Fred Warner and everybody would talk about, hey, man, this guy throwing balls and he's doing this and he's doing that. Remember when he was that dude? He didn't hurt his arm, right? So think about that. Because everyone's forgotten. But remember, everybody on that defense they were all giddy about what this guy could do and how he was attacking them at practice and all of these type things. Well, guess what? They're getting ready to start seeing that all over again.
Yeah.
So everyone who thinks, well, Trey is just out of it and they're not there, they've moved up. No. That's why I said he needed to win the Super Bowl, and it would have killed all of those thoughts. Since he got injured and he didn't make it that far, it doesn't knock him down a level because he just got hurt. We all know he was playing, and there will always be in all of our minds that he could have won that game.
Yeah.
But so that's why he didn't. And you won't be able to see him perform for 6 months. You're going to be watching the other guys here. What, coming up in March, he'll be out there and he'll be, you know, in front of the room calling plays and doing all of this stuff and everything. And Purdy will probably be around doing some of that, but it's different when you walk out there on the field and you get to fling it.
Yeah.
That's where they are right now. So, And you know what? I don't have a problem with that. There's nothing wrong with the competition and these guys, because both of them, both players, I said about Jimmy, I said it about Trey. What did I tell you when they were like, well, when you said, well, you got to get rid of Jimmy? I was like, if he can't handle another good player on the team, he's not the guy. That applies for Purdy. If you can't handle another talented player at your position, you're not the guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my mindset is totally different.
I know.
With this time around, I know there were some people thinking I was saying that they should trade Trey. I never said to trade Trey. I was just throwing out there the possibilities. If you're the Niners, if you're trying to recoup something, you know, the possibility may be out there. But my whole thing is you have no reason to trade Trey. You have no reason to trade Brock.
Those are your two quarterbacks. They're both on rookie contracts.
You bring them both back, you're paying next to nothing in the quarterback room, which allows you to expand in other areas, which allows you to continue to play at this high, compete at a high level, compete for championships. And so my whole thing is you bring them both back and you just let them figure it out. Whoever that man is, going out of training camp and heading into next
season. Worst thing can happen than having two guys that you believe can win at the quarterback.
Well, position. I mean, look,
I said it about Trey and Jimmy last year. I'm going to say it about Trey and Brock this year.
And I mean, look, you just look at this season, right? Like, if we learned anything, right? You need more than one quarterback. Hell, you need more than two.
The Niners.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, and for the Niners case, I mean, they could have used the fifth guy, you know, considering, you know, what happened to Johnson. So, obviously we wish him a speedy recovery, wish Brock a speedy recovery as well. But you need guys, but I mean, once you get to a certain level, look, let's call a spade a spade. You know, what Kyle was able to do this season was phenomenal, right? 13 yes. wins with three different quarterbacks, right? You had D'Amico on the defensive side, number one unit in the league, right? But let's just call a spade, right? And I heard people say, oh, well, they liked Brock better because they traded Nate Sudfeld. Or they got rid of Sudfeld, even though he had a guaranteed contract, guaranteed for all mm-hmm. the $2 million.
They like Brock better than Sudfeld.
Yeah, and is that, I mean, what are we saying? What are we saying by saying we like Brock better than Sudfeld?
That's what it is.
That's
what they were saying. They didn't say we're going to keep Brock and let's start him. It's like, let's keep Brock and put him on the practice squad.
We like him better than Nate, right? And so the fact of the matter is they got extremely fortunate with Brock.
Yes.
Hell, I had no idea. And there's a lot of people like me that had no idea that Mr. Irrelevant was going to become relevant and lead this team.
Well, they had no fantastic idea. You're right. If they're honest about it, they had no idea that he was that type of
none.
Player. They would have drafted him sooner.
Exactly.
They drafted him sooner. And people will say, oh, it was smart. No, no, they knew nobody else would. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Guys, please don't give them that much credit. Don't give them. I told you, you don't get that type. There is no way you knew that player was that player because you would have gotten nervous. Coaches freak out about the what if. You would have gotten nervous that somebody else was going to grab him and you would have grabbed him earlier. That's why you get the Blake Bortles getting drafted as high as they are, because they're like, oh, I think he's pretty good. Yeah. I think he's pretty good. And
got
then
the
you
size, he's got the arm. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's how that happens.
Yeah, and so they were extremely fortunate. Like, just think about it. How many teams around the league don't have a second guy that they feel comfortable putting out there if their top guy goes down, right? So they got extremely fortunate that they got this last pick of the draft guy, their third guy, to come out there and continue to engineer the train. So extremely fortunate from that standpoint. On his rookie deal, Trey's on his rookie deal. No more Jimmy drama. He's gone. And so I'm completely fine with where they are as far as the quarterback position, as far as the quarterback position goes. And now, look, the cap increases. They'll have a little bit of money to play with here. Maybe a deal here or there. You got to pay Bosa. So it's going to be an eventful offseason here. You know, not a ton of draft picks either, but it's going to be an eventful offseason to see what they're able to do to try to –
It should be great. You're gonna pay Bosa. You bring in you can, because of new money, because you don't have money in the quarterback position, you can go out and get free agent offensive linemen. You can go out and get yourself a pass rusher. You're going to be able to re-sign E-Man, and you won't have to pay E-Man as much as you would have had to pay E-Man because of the injury. So think how that helps you, which allows you to put more money into a secondary player if you want to do it. So they don't have the draft picks, but they will have the cap room to go out and get guys that can help them right now. So that's what I'm saying. And they're not starting from the bottom. They are one of the best. This is the best roster in football.
Yeah, we'll get obviously a whole lot to talk about in the offseason. But my wish list would be a dog in the middle next to Armstead, and a quarterback eater, a Von Miller type. You saw the effect he had.
I've been saying forever, you need somebody opposite of Bosa.
But
I have a feeling you'll see some of that because you drafted that this year. That's what you got to look at. You forget about these guys because they don't come in and splash immediately.
You talking about Drake?
Yes. You see, because guys don't splash immediately, you think, okay, they can't play.
And well, here's the thing with Drake.
Some guys had to learn how to play pro ball and see where they fit.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about Drake. And obviously they like Drake. He was their first pick, second pick, but their first pick of the last draft. He came in to get after the quarterback. I thought he had a pretty good start to the season. But the fact that he was inactive some of these games here down the stretch, that part is a little bit concerning to me.
Like I said, a lot of it is learning to play the pro game. Because remember, I told you, it's not about being good. It's about being consistent. You got to learn how to take care of your body. You got to learn how to play two certain things. You got to learn how to think the game. You got to figure out that next move. That's where a lot of the offseason comes in for these young players. Because guess what happens? What did I say? What you do best, once I see it, I'm not going to let you do that. So if your rip move is your best move and that's how you beat, like, guess what? After about 3-4 weeks, every guy in the league is like, oh, well, he wants to come inside with that little rip. I'm not letting him do that.
Yeah.
And so now what? So now you got to get, not only do you have to have a counter, you got to get your counter up to speed with your best move. Now I got you an either or, and I still got to add something to it. While I continue to build, that's pro ball. So it takes time for guys to do that.
Yeah,
but when I see those flashes, I'm like, okay, this is a coach's job. Look what you're capable of doing. Now, what we got to do is teach you how to get in position to where you can do that more often, where you can consider, how do you set a guy up to where you can do that? So that's what I'm saying. A lot of this stuff may already be in the building. And that's why we got to look at it and like from there. So, of course, continue to add, but I don't think they've missed on a whole lot. I really don't. I want to see the offensive line get a little bit more stout. I think the running back position is fine.
We're going to disagree on a lot of things here this offseason, ED.
So you got a problem with McCaffrey?
Absolutely not.
You got a problem with Mitchell?
Injury.
No, wait a minute. If he's healthy, you got a problem with him?
If.
Oh, wait, no, hold on. They said the same thing about McCaffrey. Okay? What did I tell you? I said, like you said, it will. You didn't like it when he came.
Well, no, I had that was a concern when he got here.
And what did I say? You were like, what if he gets hurt? I said, what if he doesn't? I'm going to tell you the same thing about Mitchell. Mitchell has shown that he can play. Now, he's young. Being young, I'm going to tell you again. You got to learn how to deal with the pain. You got to learn how to deal with your body so that you can train so that you don't have some of those same type of nagging injuries. It's a process. He's a baby. So let's just see. Now you go through the next season and that's the same thing. Now I got an issue. But the first two running backs, they are fine.
If they're healthy, I love them.
So that's what I got to do. I got to assume that they're healthy. So like I told you about the quarterback, I can't carry four quarterbacks assuming that one's going to get hurt. Like I can't. You just can't. That's not the way football is played. Guys are going to get hurt, but there's also other things that you can learn to train and deal your body to learn how to deal with it. You're going to get hurt. So that's what I'm saying. Across the board, this roster is solid. It's solid.
I'm hoping Drake Jackson could be that guy. I'm fond of him, fond of Diamador. These guys kind of go back here in the Southland. I think we're going to have some running back conversations. We got a bunch of conversations, E.D. We got a long off season.
Okay.
We're out. 31-7. Eagles win this one. Got to give credit to where it's due. I mean, look, we can say we won. Niners didn't have a chance, this out of the other, but it was the Eagles. I mean, look, call a spade a spade, right? They knocked out both.
They knocked out both quarterbacks. I actually thought we were going to knock their quarterback out. Yeah. They knocked out both of
they
ours.
They knocked out both far. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. You got to give credit to where it's due. Yes, it still feels incomplete. Yes, it didn't feel like the Niners had a chance, but you got to give the Eagles their credit where credit's due.
We lost, they won. That's it.
Yeah,
Yep.
So that's going to do it. What a season. What a 2022 season it was. Shout out to Kyle. Brock took us for a ride. Congrats to D'Amico Ryans. Looks like that whole thing's going to work out with the Texans. He's going to go back to one of his old stomping grounds. So kudos to him. Niners got to find a DC. Niners got a lot of questions. There are always question marks going into the offseason.
We'll try I already told you. Didn't I tell you Vic Fangio is going to be the DC?
You didn't say
remember a long time ago, you were like, we're going to lose D'Amico. And I said, I didn't think so because I didn't think he was going to take this job. But you know
Wait,
what?
Are you breaking news here? Would you wait till the show's over to break?
I did. Well, no. But I'm just saying, I it hasn't happened, but I just have a feeling that if you, but you remember way back in the middle of the season, I said, if he does leave, you were concerned about who's going to be the guy. And I said, Vic. I was like, he's already in the building.
Yeah, well, because D'Amico was on staff, right? And yeah. So you figured that it was going to be a promotion. We hadn't heard a name about a guy on staff. And so I was like, okay, who's it going to be? To your point, there was a report out there that Fangio was set to become the DC down in Miami with Mike McDaniel. But then
he hadn't signed the paper.
Yeah, he hadn't, so according to Louise, I'm forgetting the guy's name.
It doesn't even matter. One of those dudes that make stuff up.
Yeah. Used to work at the network. He's now with Bally's, but he's locked in with Shanahan in the 49ers. Oh my gosh, this is gonna eat me up.
It's all right.
Anyways, according to him, he said Fangio said nothing's solid yet. So
he was probably the same one that said Fangio was gonna sign with the Dolphins too.
No, it was a Dolphins guy that said that Fangio was going to sign. Yeah. That Fangio was going to sign with the Dolphins. Mike Silver. So it's a Dolphins guy that said Fangio was going to sign with the Dolphins. Mike Silver said that. You know,
he said pump your brakes.
Yeah, he said he spoke to Fangio, and Fangio said
I would listen to Silver.
Yeah, Fangio said there's nothing there yet. So we'll see. Right. I would sign up for Fangio every day of the week. So there's that. That's it for 2022 season. We're not going anywhere. We'll still be around once a week during the off season. Those of you that are new to the pod. We go once a week during the off season, twice a week during the regular season and the postseason. During the off season, we go once. So appreciate y'all for tuning in throughout the 2022 season, for sticking with us, ups and downs, this, that, the other. Your boy was on the IR to start the season, all that stuff. But appreciate y'all for rolling with us, and appreciate your continued support of us now here going forward as we scale it back here for the off season, but continue to bring you Niners news, information, our thoughts. This, that, or the other. As always, want to continue to encourage you to download, subscribe, rate, and review. We're located wherever you find your podcast. If there's a like or follow button on your particular podcast subscription service, go ahead and hit that like or follow button. Give us a shout out on Twitter. I'm at @rhaylock. He is at @Eric_Davis_. And on Instagram, I'm at @WatchRayRay. He is at @ED25. Give us a like on YouTube as well. That's Believe in 49ers, BLEAV. A shout out to Canada. They give us a whole lot of love. Appreciate y'all north of the border. Shout out Canada. Shout out you, ED, and all y'all out there for listening. Former partner, Super Bowl champion Eric Davis. I am Rashawn Haylock. This has been the Believe in 49ers podcast on Believe. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.